I am fascinated, intrigued, and honored
you
by
may
the
have done what they said you did, but
they
you
are magnificent,
they
marvelous.
You, are.
You
need to know that you're okay just the way you are. The plan succeeded in you as a child.
What you've been through matters.
This podcast is designed for you.
It's
love on a mission
hope.
In a world
about
where human experience
is
lacking.
My name is Ginger Wilk, and we're here to talk about that which matters.
Welcome to That Which Matters. This is the Christmas holiday season, and I want to come to you today with a special Christmas podcast. I want to be able to depict some of the beautiful, wonderful things that happen during the holiday season. It is literally my favorite of all holidays. However, I am sensitive to the fact that many listeners out there may be dealing with pain during this time. They may have lost a relative or a friend. They may be experiencing a breakup or a divorce. They may have financial strains or being stricken by poverty. They may have always associated the holidays with dysfunction or chaos or addiction due to the reality in their home when they were growing up. But this episode does not exclude, ignore, or dilute your reality. You matter, and I invite you to listen, all of you to listen. I want to start by talking about a true role model and honored woman of authority, Queen Elizabeth. This is a year where she will not be delivering her Christmas speech. She would deliver these speeches, however, every year from 1952 until her last one in 2021. I believe there was only one speech that she missed in the 60s, but every single year she delivered a speech in her home about Christmas. Last year that she gave the speech in 2022, she talked about the death of her husband, Philip, but recalled the beautiful and major impact that he had on her and the world. And she said, "I still will enjoy many happy traditions, decorating the tree, opening gifts, listening to the carols." And she talked about the fact that despite the fact that he wasn't there, that she would enjoy these things and look forward to this Jubilee year that was upon her in February, giving thanks for the last 70 years that she served her country, seeing the joy in the simple things. She talked about with the birth of a child, there is a new dawn with endless potential. The life of Jesus brings that to our hearts. In her first broadcast, and she sounded so young and was so young in her 20s, she thanked the military and the people who were serving the country and gave them affectionate greetings to those that were serving in that manner. And she spoke about how excited she was to be able to govern her people and embrace all of those that were out there under her jurisdiction. She talked about her upcoming coronation, and she asked that people pray that she have wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises that she will faithfully make to serve all the days of her life. This was a beautiful message that she began with and a beautiful one that she ended with. And the message combined a chronicle of the year's major events, focused on the Commonwealth of the Nations and her own personal milestones and feelings about Christmas. The original purpose was to address the economic concerns of the country, but to everyone's surprise, she used this occasion to express the love she felt for her subjects and how she viewed her position as queen. And so she aligned her message with a divine authority to persuade audiences with shared religious convictions. And so, much like the Queen, I want to be able to share some of my own personal convictions. And I want to think about and explore some of the things that I look forward to and have looked forward to during my days and during Christmas time. The Queen's speech was one of them. I also remember going to midnight mass when the congregation would sing with unity and conviction. I remember that there was a sense of unity in the world and in our community. I remember the cartoons that depicted the message of Christ. My favorite was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Island of the Misfit Toys, and how so many times I would have a tear in my eye thinking about the fact that these toys that would never amount to anything would not be forgotten. I think that that was the birth of my days in the social service field, in helping people that feel like they're forgotten or ignored. I remember Christmas pageants in my elementary school where my love for the arts was ignited. Years later, directing plays and pageants and shows at my own church. I remember a youth group activity where we performed a live nativity scene. We stood out at the edge of the street in our formation in a still form of the nativity scene for people to behold. It was a beautiful time that we had together. It's a time during Christmas where the community shifts away from ourselves and onto others. The sound of music around us proclaims that God so loved the world. And in a very difficult time in our world, to be able to have that declaration that everybody listens to is a beautiful thing. Some of our traditions, as I've had my own children and husband, is eating dinner on Christmas Eve night with only the light of our Christmas tree. Having decorations in every room of our house, a little bit of some type of decoration, even in the bathrooms. Putting out holiday wreaths for the birds with bird food just wrapped around this holiday decoration in the yard. Opening gifts one by one, even if it takes us hours to be able to get those presents opened. And when I think about all the busyness and things that we do on a regular basis during the holidays, I'm often struck with the fact that at times it's hard to really think about the true Christmas story. We get caught up in the commercial aspect of it. We get caught up in the hustle and bustle of all of the expectations that are around us. And at times I find myself late on a Christmas night thinking about, did I have that moment where I really understood what occurred, the real true story of Christmas? And so I wrote this little poem or narrative, whatever you want to call it, this year as I began to contemplate what Christmas is all about. Faint fluttering rattled in rhythm with the rapid heartbeat and trembling hands of an adolescent girl from the Middle East. While she embraced an appointment that could potentially sever ties to her family, lower shame onto her community like a window shade, evaporate in engagement to her soulmate, she hesitated and declared a yes. Faint fluttering rattled in rhythm with a rapid heartbeat and trembling hands of a wind-whipped, sun-scorched set of peasant shepherds under a starry night. While they faced an intruder in their fields more terrifying than the wolves and dingoes, wrangling through the reality that although forbidden by high priest to worship in the temple, angelic beings extended an invitation to greet God in a baby's body. Aware that they lacked the wardrobe, grooming rituals, education, or sophisticated theology to salute the Savior, they hesitated and declared a yes. The blurred bustle of holiday chaos was in their world as well. Mary had to arrive at our version of the DMV to complete the census. She hoisted the bladder of a full-term body onto the back of a donkey for 90 miles. She ended her journey with a hotel room that would not be ready for check-in before delivery. She was miles from her family, in a new relationship, with no primary physician to ease her pain. The barn animals were not ceramic stills. They erupted with brays and bellows and exuded odors. The context was disorderly and awkward, and despite all of this, God arrived. God arrived for them and for you and me. Faint fluttering is around you. What will your directive be? And I also want to read something to you by Max Lucado. It's a little chapter called Just a Moment from a book called God Came Near. And this is how it goes. It all happened in a moment, a most remarkable moment. As moments go, that one appeared no different than any other. If you could somehow pick it up off the timeline and examine it, it would look exactly like the ones that have passed while you have read these words. It came and went. It was preceded and succeeded by others just like it. It was one of the countless moments that have marked time since eternity became measurable. But in reality, that particular moment was like none other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. While the creatures of the earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened up herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near. He came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla. Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. Angels watched as Mary changed God's diaper. The universe watched with wonder as the Almighty learned to walk. Children played in the street with him, and the synagogue leader in Nazareth, known, was listening to his sermons. Jesus may have had pimples. He may have been tone deaf. Perhaps a girl down the street had a crush on him, or vice versa. It could be that his knees were bony. One thing's for sure, he was, while completely divine, completely human. For 33 years, he would feel everything you and I have ever felt. He felt weak. He grew weary. He was afraid of failure. He was susceptible to wooing women. He got colds, burped, and had body odor. His feelings got hurt, his feet got tired, and his head ached. To think of Jesus in such a light is, well, it seems almost irrelevant, doesn't it? It's not something we like to do. It's uncomfortable. It's much easier to keep the humanity out of the incarnation. Clean the manure from around the manger. Wipe the sweat out of his eyes. Pretend he never snored or blew his nose or hit his thumb with a hammer. He's easier to stomach that way. There's something about keeping him divine that keeps him distant, packaged, predictable. But don't do it. For heaven's sake, don't. Let him be human as he intended to be. Let him into the mire and muck of our world. For only if we let him in can he pull us out. So I think that that is such an important element of understanding the humanity of Jesus. I mean, here's the whole key to this, is that God knew that there was no way that we would be able to really get close to him the way he wanted to be close with us. There weren't enough lambs that could be sacrificed. There weren't enough rituals that people could take part in. There were too many rules. There were too many barriers. There was too much judgment. There was no way that we were going to get close to God. And so God decided he was going to come to be close with us, that he was going to come to us. You know, I am such a stickler about romance movies and books. I love them, love them, love them. But there is nothing more beautiful than the true love that God has for us. There's nothing that can be invented or written about how a guy or a girl woos their partner that is more spectacular than the love story of God coming near to us and God wanting to be with us. And so when I think about that, when I dwell on that, when I come out of my world, when I come out of all the expectations and the lists and the financial pressures and everything that surrounds Christmas, and I just think about that, it brings tears to my eyes. And it makes me understand that I am not left out. I'm not falling behind. I'm not failing in any possible way. I just need to listen. I just need to take that time to really understand what truly happened. And in our experiences, one of my favorite of all is giving back during this time. I remember when my daughter was 15 years old, she had just a little babysitting job. And we were doing something at our church where we were trying to just get gifts for kids in the congregation that just didn't they didn't have the economic blessing to be able to get presents for their kids. And so their names were on a list, and there was this little girl, and my daughter Hannah decided she was going to select this, you know, it was just the gender, you know, girl 12 or whatever it was, or girl 10. And she went to Walmart and she spent probably about $120 from her babysitting money. And she said, I want to do a princess theme. I want to get everything princess. I want to get a tiara. I want to get a Barbie doll that is a princess. I want to get, you know, clothes. I want to do everything that I can do to depict this theme of a princess. And I remember that when I was there, when the mom picked up the present for this girl, they were all wrapped up in everything, so you couldn't see what it was. But I knew that this was my daughter's gift that she had donated, because it was, I saw the wrapping paper and everything was sitting there on the chair. And the woman walked over and she just started crying. And she said, oh, she goes, look at all these presents. These presents are for my little princess. And I thought about the fact that there was no way that my daughter knew that that's what she was even called by her mother. But God knew that. I think about when we used to take part in the Angel Tree program, where men and women in prison who couldn't be with their children would put their names on a list. And throughout the course of the year, they would get people who would select the names and would donate the gifts. And then we would have this wrapping party. And it was such a beautiful time together that we would celebrate these children. And my most favorite part about it all is that my husband and a bunch of other men and women from the church would get together on Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve, and they would go to the homes of these children, and the children would open up the door and they would hand these presents to these little kids and say, this is from your father, or this is from your mother. And thinking about these kids that, you know, they don't even know where their parents are half the time, or if they do get to see them, they have to take an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minute drive to get there and to sit behind a plastic barrier table in the middle. But they were getting a present from their mom or for their dad, and it was a beautiful experience. And so I want to encourage you to think about your traditions, start some new ones. Maybe during this time, it's about pausing and listening to the flutter behind you and finding out, what is the directive? Is it to forgive somebody? Is it to reach out to somebody that might be going through a hard time? Is it to perform a selfless act? Or is it just to pause and listen and understand that God so loved the world that he gave his son to you? Merry Christmas, and thank you for listening.
In collaboration with IML Productions, this has been your host, Ginger Wilk, with That Which Matters. Thank you for listening.